Good evening, everyone. I'm Paul Gunnis. Alongside me, Forrest Hunt and Ethan Estrada to bring you Hot in the Igloo every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m., where we didn't come to lose. We're talking everything DU sports and beyond. And guys, before we begin the show tonight, we're going to have a couple guests on tonight. Head basketball coach Booker T. Harris and assistant basketball coach, men's basketball coach, Scott Waterman will be coming into the studio in just a little bit coming up for you guys. But before we begin all that, I know we don't like to get political on the show. However, I was born about 20 minutes away from Thousand Oaks. I went to high school 10 minutes away from where the shooting was last night. And I woke up this morning to a frantic call from my mom saying, there was a shooting at Thousand Oaks at Borderline, which is somewhere that I had a lot of friends. My cousin loves to hang out there. Thankfully, she wasn't there last night. And my best friend goes to Cal Lutheran University, so he knew a couple of people that were unfortunately killed last night in the shooting. So really quick, we're just going to take a moment of silence, and then we're going to get right back to that sports talk that you guys all love. Here we go. Thank you. So guys, let's get right into it. We know we have a big day today. It's going to be all basketball themed, with the men's basketball coaches coming in. So Forrest, I think we want to talk a little bit about what our starting five would be this year. I mean, we have a lot of transfers that came in, a lot of D1 transfers that came in, players that played D1 last year that now are on our men's team, which is good for the program considering, here at Dominican, we are a D2 program. And it should be pretty exciting to watch this year, hopefully. I mean, we say that every year, right? I mean, our freshman year, we thought that they were going to be great. Last year, we sort of knew that they weren't going to be, they were going to be very young. Let's just say that. And now this year, those freshmen that got so much experience last year, guys, are going to be, almost veterans as sophomores. And now you add even more veteran leadership with these transfers coming in that are all juniors or seniors or grad students. And it looks like our team has the potential. They came into the season in the preseason rankings. They're projected to go 8th in the conference. 6 teams make the conference tournament. And our conference tournament this year is right here at the Conlin Center. So we're going to have the call for all those games. And it starts this Friday with the women at, 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock is the tailgate. 2 o'clock is the game. So come on out if you guys are listening, you're in the area. We'd love to have you. So Forrest, let's talk a little bit about what our starting lineups would be. Go ahead. I mean, what do you think your starting five would be on this roster?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out first that you talked about the freshmen coming back from last year just to go up and down the roster. I mean, these are guys that we called the names of quite a lot last year. You have Christopher Williams II coming back, a sophomore. Romeo Mays is in that mix. Jordan Williams, potentially the starting point guard. He was the starting point guard last year as a freshman. He'll be in there. I mean, this team is with Christian Futch. You have Christian Futch, the 6'8 man, coming back. He was the starting center last year as a freshman. So, and then you mentioned those transfers. Ryan Hepler is one of those transfers. Lazar, Sam Averbuck, you're talking about Jared Harper, guys like Ezra Talbert. All those names that we just mentioned are all transfers. And then the lone freshman Spencer Davidson, along with the returners from last year at different grade levels. Of course, you have CJ Thomas, one of the seniors coming back, a big part of this team. And I think, Paul, you and I had a similar starting lineup. I mean, just based off what we saw from these guys last year. And just to throw it out there, a disclaimer, we haven't seen these guys practice, okay? I was there this morning for 10 minutes. They're shooting free throws at the end, right? So it's up in the air, really. And when you look at it, just based on what we know from last year and based on what we know about the talent of the guys coming in,
Sheets. I mean, we're just looking at stats.
Yeah.
I went to high school with Ryan Hippler, so I've seen him play a little bit.
Right.
But this is all basically, guesswork, as you would call it. Me and Forrest both know our basketball, and we know what we saw last year, and we've watched a little bit of film, but we haven't really seen what this team looks like together. So, again, this is all prediction. We'll get a better idea when Coach Harris and Coach Waterman come in. They can give us their opinions on certain ideals. Like, we're going to talk about what we think and then basically what they think about what we think. So it should be fun. So let's start it out right here. So for me, I think you got to start Jordan Williams at the point again. Right?
I think you have to. I mean, he was named a captain last year as a freshman, and it was evident why. I mean, his leadership is
very vocal,
and he plays on the court. His leadership, his vocality, like you said, how much he controls the game. It just wasn't at a freshman level last year. It was very above and beyond.
Well, you could tell he was definitely a big leader on his high school team, and he brought that same type of leadership to a team that was very frantic last year. I mean, you had two really good seniors in Reverend Maduakor, Jeremiah Gray, but other than that, it was like them and then a bunch of freshmen pretty much was the roster. Or if it wasn't a freshman, it was somebody that didn't get a lot of playing time.
CJ.
CJ, who's...
He played like a senior last year, but we were thankful to have another year with him.
Yeah, definitely. You know, CJ, so it was those three and then a bunch of... There's a major gap between experience between those three and the rest of the roster, and you know, I think that Jordan Williams stepped up into that spot of leadership where the Penguins really needed it. They needed somebody that was going to be vocal, was going to be well liked among his peers, and it seemed like Jordan Williams was that guy. So I think we both agree that Jordan Williams got to be the starting point guard this year. Another thing I want to mention really quick about Jordan Williams, just a true point guard, not a guy that's going to run up the court and fire a bunch of threes. He was going to facilitate, you know, very pass first, which is really good out of a point guard, especially at the college level. So moving on from him, now we have this question at the two. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guards on this roster.
But the thing is when you look at Jordan Williams, right, Jordan Williams is a guard at 6 foot. You also have Jared Harper, who's also a guard at 6 foot. But then you have some guards, guys that are listed as guards, Paul, that are 6'5", okay? I mean, these guys are big, and they can shoot the ball, and they can handle the ball. It's just really remarkable, in my opinion, what Coach Booker and Coach Waterman have been able to bring into the program. I mean, like you said, you got 8 guards on the roster. They're not all 6 feet. They're 6'5", and they're 6'9".
Well, definitely, you know, and looking at the stat sheet, I mean, you have four shooters that shot above 35% career at the D2 or at their college level. So, I mean, it's looking scary for other teams. If you're a Penguin fan, it looks like it's going to be a really fun year on paper.
Well, here's another thing too. Okay, this team finished pretty poorly last year, 5 wins on the season, right? And there are 14 teams in the conference this year, and their preseason pick was for them to finish 8th. That's the last team in the tournament. I'll tell you what. Who picks a 5-win team?
Is it 6 or 8 that make the tournament? Is it 6? I thought it was 6. I might be wrong. It might be 8.
It's 8.
8 for sure?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I mean, if they could get in the tournament, that's the first time they've been in the tournament.
Well, who picks a team that won 5 games to get the last spot in the tournament? right? I mean, that just shows the talent that they brought in. It's proof of these guys. These guys can play.
Well, another thing, too, is the depth that we have on this roster. I mean, last year, we were struggling to find guys to come off the bench. You know, it led to Jeremiah playing almost the whole game. Because when he got out, like, there was nobody else that come in and score. Now, you replace him with maybe nobody that's as good as him, but about 6 or 7 guys that all are almost as good as him that can provide depth off the bench. So what I'm saying is, my prediction for the number two is probably either Averbuch or Christopher Williams the second.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter because whoever doesn't start the two, you know, you have Hippler coming off the bench, Harper coming off the bench. Williams, people forget about Xavier Williams last year. Right. He had a big impact.
Game winner against Notre Dame, buzzer beater.
I mean, there's so much depth off that guard position that I don't think that fans or parents, if you're listening, you should worry if your kid isn't, you know, starting game one. He's going to get playing time because there are so many good players at the 1, 2, 3 position on this starting lineup for Dominican.
And I think you said it pretty well. You gave an accurate description when you said last year it was hard to find guys to come off the bench. You and I, okay, what is it? We're 9 minutes into the show. You and I, about 15 minutes ago, were struggling to see who we were going to leave out of the starting lineup. I mean, obviously, like we said, Coach Booker and Coach Waterman are going to give us a better idea of how these guys actually – but when you look at the numbers, right, numbers don't lie. They don't, right? If you're good, you're going to shoot 50%, like Alana Scott from three, right? That if you look at that number, you don't go, oh, she's a bad 3-point shooter, you know? Mm-hmm. You have guys in this team where you're looking at the numbers going, man, where are they going to play? Really, this guy shoots 38% from three and he's 6'9"? Where is he going to play? Is he going to play a five? Is he going to play a three? Is he going to play down low? Is he going to play? Where is he going to play? You know, there's the versatility on this team is just something that I haven't seen in my other 2 years here. And we'll ask Booker more about that. But we're going back to that number two spot. I like Sam Averbuch. I mean, Sammy and I went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. So we've known each other. We knew each other mutually then. But now since he's gotten here, we've kind of reconnected in a way. It's been a big reunion. It's great. Every time we see each other,
you like, got a guy Sammy, from high school. What's up? I got a guy from high school.
There you go.
School.
See?
I mean, right there.
It's a family affair here at Dominican. But I really like Sammy in that two spot. He was a great shooter last time I saw him. And ever since he left our high school, I've heard nothing but his shot and his shooting ability progressing.
Well, that's, I mean, great to hear at the two. So, I mean, I agree with you. Either Averbuch or Christopher Williams, because we saw Christopher Williams last year.
And you can't go wrong with him. You just can't.
Yeah, and he had some ankle issues last year. Yeah. But now it's like if you don't have to push him to the limit with that healing. I think he's fully healed, just from what I've been hearing. But my point is he doesn't have to play those extra minutes. Now you have so much depth that you don't have to push him any further than he needs to be. So, now I want to talk about the forwards and center position on this team.
Okay.
Because last year, Forrest, there was one guy above 6'6" on our roster, and it was Christian Fuch,
right,
who played the center position all year.
Right.
Was great for the Penguins.
Yeah.
You could tell he was the future of the program in that position. Well, now...
I'm laughing because I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, now, I mean, we have Romeo Mays, who grew to 6'7". Last year, he was listed at 6'6". Ezra Talbert, 6'9".
And he can shoot.
And he can...
He's like a KD.
Yeah, exactly. Christian Fuch, who's 6'8". Lazar, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last
We'll get
name.
It by next week,
yeah, we'll
but
have,
we're
we'll
not going to try
it. We'll have it by
the
game, but right now we haven't prepared. So, Lazar, you know who you are, 6'8".
Yeah.
I mean, and according to, I was talking to Christian this week, he was telling me, these guys can rebound. Lazar is a defensive presence that can rebound. Ezra can shoot the three. And can rebound. He said it kind of reminds him of a Kevin Love type player.
Okay.
Somebody that can stretch the floor.
Well, see, I was close. I said Kevin Durant.
Well, you had the Kevin.
It's got the Kevin right. A couple of Kevins.
Hopefully he's a little healthier than Kevin Love. That guy.
That's true.
Yeah. He gets with his feet, you know.
And getting in the face with basketballs and stuff.
That's true. Knock on wood, we don't have to deal with that. But Kevin, he says more like a Kevin Love in the essence that he can stretch the floor and he's not afraid to get in there and rebound, which I thought last year.
It was a problem.
It was definitely a problem. And I thought he was even a problem 2 years ago when we had, you know, Henry Owadwe, yeah, who was a great defensive presence.
I mean, 7 feet tall.
He was 7 feet tall, but the guy still lacked in the rebounding department.
Yeah.
I mean, with that guy, half the teams we played, didn't he have a guy that came within 3 inches?
Right.
And yet he was getting out-rebounded. That's why he didn't start towards the end of the year. Yeah. So I think that if they can solve that rebounding problem, there's three things to every great basketball team, no matter what level of basketball team you're looking at. If they can run the defense first, if they can control the boards, right, and then they and then control the control the tempo. So you control the tempo, you control the defense, you control the boards, you don't lose.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Lakers are trying to do. That's what the Warriors have done by setting the tone with the three ball. Everybody says, oh, they set the tone with the three ball. It's so new. No, what they did is they just found their tempo that works. And if we can do that at Dominican, I don't think we're going to finish top three. Okay? Point Loma's too good. Point Loma has all of their starters returning. Everybody on that team looks good. Point Loma's looks like they're just going to run away with the conference, just looking at them on paper. But I think, you know, the Penguins can finish fourth or fifth. And then all of a sudden, we're a top team in the conference. And miracles happen in March, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a long ways away. But I think of this team and talking to Christian Fuch, he said last year, I'm not going to say names, but there was a lot of
They didn't play as a team.
Exactly. There was a lot of me ball because the team wasn't that good. And everybody knew it.
Yeah.
This year, he said, nobody's like that. Everybody is team first, which that, to me, is a winning formula. You have a team-first mindset who listens to the coaches, and it looks like the coaching staff has amped up their involvement because they know that this team has the potential to be really good. Coach Waterman, Coach Harris, it just seems like they're really involved in this team and believe in this team. And we're going to hear it firsthand from them coming right up. But
well, who do you have at your number three right now then? Who are you playing? Who do you have playing the three?
What I like to see is I like to see Ezra Talbert starting at the three. I like to see C.J. Thomas at the four. And then I'd like to see either Futch or Lazar at the five, and you could intertwine them. And the thing about a big man is you don't need him. He's going to have less stamina than the rest of the guys, just historically speaking. So now you don't have to have to push Futch to play the whole game. Because last year when Futch would go to the bench, who was playing the five? CJ.
You had CJ, and then you had Romeo Mays. Romeo Mays is another guy. I mean, when you look at him on the floor next to CJ Thomas, not only do they look like twins. I mean, come on. If you come out to the Conlin Center, you're going to get CJ and Romeo mixed up. But they have similar playing styles. I mean, they're both at 6'6", 6'7", very similar playing styles. And when you looked at how dominant CJ was last year at his position, then you look at this kid Romeo Mays coming in as a freshman, you see the similarities in their play style, and you think, well, you know, after CJ graduates next year, you know, Romeo could just step right into his shoes. And I think, in my opinion, not knowing the progression that Romeo has gotten, but just knowing how he played last year, I think he'd be the guy to come off the bench for CJ.
Well, definitely. I think that allows him, now the depth of this roster allows him to be the change man with CJ. Rather than before, you know, last year, sometimes you had to have them both on the floor at the same time where he would go into CJ's position, CJ would be forced to play the five, and now we're running this super small lineup that didn't have a ton of great shooters. And it's like, we're just going to get run over by any team that has any height because we can't get rebounds. We're too small, and we couldn't outshoot them because we were too small.
Yeah, height was a thing. I don't think height's going to be a problem. I mean, I know we're beating a dead horse, but when you got guys that, you know, you're talking about guys playing the two, that's 6'5", possibly, you know. Christopher Williams is above 6 feet at the two. If you're talking about Ezra's shooting ability, if he moves up into a three, because CJ's going to play the four. So you're talking about Ezra being 6'9", he's either going to play the three or the five. Yeah. You know, he's either going to jump and be a presence down low, or you know, he can shoot.
Well, here's the thing. I think CJ might be considered a three, quote unquote, but if he's considered a three, quote unquote, it's really like a 3-4-ish position. And then you have Ezra playing the four, but he's really just spreading the floor and shooting. So I think, you know, it brings so much versatility to a roster that it's exciting. It's going to be exciting to watch. Well, I think we're going to kick it to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, the coaches are in the studio. They're ready to go. So coming right back, Coach Booker T. Harris and Coach Waterman right here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Hot in the Igloo every Thursday, 5 to 6, where we didn't come to lose. Coming right back. Follow me, I you thinking you were first. Let's travel at magnificent speeds around the universe.
What could you say as a rail? I'm Rakim, the fiend of a microphone. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Hot in the Igloo live at 5 p.m. on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. For St. Paul Gunnis, Ethan Estrada. Well, Coach Booker T. Harris and Coach Scott Waterman are here in the studio with us. And first of all, I'd like to welcome you guys.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here with you guys, man. I'm excited. I'm making my first appearance this year on the show.
Thanks again, Forrest, for having me. It's great. Paul, always good to be on with you guys. No rookie on this like Coach Harris, so we'll give him a lot of the thunder today to talk. Plus, he's the head coach.
Head coach Booker T. Harris, associate head coach Scott Waterman. And, well, you know, I was watching you guys shoot free throws this morning, and I was only in there for about 10 minutes. But
any go in? Did any of those go in?
I think I saw most of them go in. I think that was a good thing. Lazar made all of his, I think, when I was in there. So, but the one thing that I want to ask you first is the one thing that just physically looking at them is these guys are a lot bigger. They're a lot bigger than it seems in the guys you had last year. Is that true?
Overall, yes. I say across the board, we've added a little more length and height to the squad, so it makes things a little more difficult ideally defensively, that we can use that maybe hopefully to rebound, because I think you saw games last year where there was a lot of boards by our opponents, so hopefully this year our length, we can use it and do a better job of getting deflections and causing havoc defensively.
You know, I just wanted to add to that point. It seems like not only did you add more height and rebounding ability, but you added shooters on top of that, guys that are tall that can shoot. It seems like the shooting for our program seems a little bit better this year as well. You added two things that we seem to be struggling in. You found a way to add both, height and shooting ability, which seems, I commend you on that. It's very impressive. It's a hard thing to do.
It was a dire need for us this year. And, you know, Coach Waterman did a great job of spearheading and taking the bull by the horns, trying to recruit guys that can do that. I mean, obviously, we all had, spots last year where it really stuck out, where that really hurt us. And I think we had got away from that a little bit. And, you know, years past, when we had guys like Hayes and Schwartz Edmondson and Carrillo and guys like that, we shot the ball pretty well from the three and from the free throw line. Mm.
Coach Waterman, can you talk a little bit about your involvement in that recruiting process. Can you talk about that, getting those guys, and just the D1 transfers? Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I think, with the core guys that we had returning, one of our points of emphasis was, you know, building around them. We knew we had a good young core of returners, young guys, and we needed some more experience to tackle that. And for those of you may or may not know, the Division I transfer market is something that's become really popular in the recruiting world, and we decided to jump on that train to do it. And I think on average the last 3 or 4 years has been about 700, 800 kids that leave Division I schools, and we were lucky enough to get 4 really good ones, and they really fit the needs. And they come with not only Division I experience of practice of 3 or 4 years where they're coming from, but also the weaknesses that were exploited on our by our opponents last year. So, Sam Averbuch, Ryan Hippler, Ezra Talbert really fit that mold of being good shooters like you talked about. And Jared Harper comes in. He'll be a great defensive presence for us from Fairfield. And, those are just some of the things that they complement those other guys. And they've stepped in, and really our chemistry is really thrived because of those guys and what they've gone through. And not only that, they pushed those other guys this summer to get better. And as a coach, you can't ask for more than that. You know, we got to recruit the best players we can, and those guys have helped elevate the entire program.
We don't want to get into too much about predicting what the season is going to be like, because obviously you kind of it's a day-by-day process, but when the PacWest comes out with their preseason rankings, they have you guys at 8th. And, you know, a team that last year wasn't on the cusp of making the playoffs, and then you look at it, and this year people are thinking that, you know, just because of that young core that you talked about and those transfers coming in, this team could contend. And am I wrong to say that that's a huge step forward from the squad that you had last year?
As a head coach, any coach – this point in time in the year, you know the team you have in November is not going to be the same team as February, January, and ideally March. So it's one of those things where if we're consistent in what we've been doing, I think we definitely have a chance to be extremely competitive and surprise some people. But we know there's work to do, and hopefully not being satisfied with just getting a little better, but really seizing the opportunity that we have since we're hosting the PacWest tournament. And, you know, no doubt, like, with it on your own campus, you want to be playing in front of your support system of friends, classmates, teachers, professors, friends, roommates, and things like that. You don't want to be at the concessions working it or taking tickets for the opposition to come in.
All right, so let's get right into it. Me and Forrest decided that if we were the coaches of the Dominican University men's basketball program, this would be our starting five lineup. And we don't want you guys to give your starting five.
This is without seeing any of these guys play, just a disclaimer.
Yeah, we're not saying we want to see what you guys, we just want to hear what your opinions on our starting five would be.
You know, it's funny, not to catch you off ball, but it's funny. We talk about... Everybody wants to flip. I would love to be a professional sportscaster. You can take my coaching job, and we can just call it a deal.
We should do that one game. We'll just switch.
No,
spots.
I don't think that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
I think we should. We should go for it. I just want to be next to Forrest, all dressed up, so I could get more compliments between him and Stu on how I'm dressed.
Well, I was going to ask, can I borrow a suit if I become a head coach for a day?
Yeah.
All right.
Give him the biggest one you got, so make sure he can wear it.
Triple X. our starting five, this is what we just determined. We just talked about it right before you guys came on.
Once again, this is without seeing any of the guys play.
The new guys play. So I said, or we both said, Jordan Williams, because he did so well leading, being a leader last year at the one. Then we said at the two, we kind of flipped a coin and we said Averbuch at the two between Christopher Williams and Sam. And we went with Sam just on a limb. We said there was so much depth at the position that either one, it was interchangeable. Three, we said Ezra Talbert at the three, just adding so much height. And there's not really a lot of threes that play that are in D2 level in our conference that are that tall. So it would be a weapon at the three. And then CJ, obviously, at the four, being a senior and just having so much impact last year and in the last couple of years that we've been here to see.
Yeah, 12 points and I think 5 rebounds as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then at the five, we said another coin flip between Futch and Lazar, just not knowing how Lazar really plays, but seeing Futch last year be such, as a freshman, sort of make an impact on the program, it was very impressive. So
before he has a chance to lobby, I want your overall opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Overall opinion. Before Paul has a chance to lobby about the predicted starting lineup.
Ooh.
I know we're not asking you to reveal a starting lineup because you might not even know what it's going to be tomorrow night when you guys go to SF State.
Right.
So don't feel any pressure. If you want to tell Paul, screw it, you're not getting anything.
I think I may come in tomorrow before the game and say, hey, this is
Paul's lineup.
Paul's lineup, so we're rolling with it.
If you do, I swear I might stop this.
Actually, I mean, you guys are spot on, with so many different interchangeable parts. A lot of it may come down to what matchups might be that night. Until like I said, I talked about consistency a little bit more. Like we have different lineups that can do different things, which is, it's good to have if you want a lineup that speed games up and press and fly around. It's nice if you have a lineup where you want to be bigger with everybody and stretch them out and have shooters. But those names you all rattled off, all will be an integral part of making sure that we have success this year. So it's almost comical in a sense where you guys are like us. Like right now, it's too early to tell in a sense with what you have on the floor. And all I want to see is improvement. Improvement day in and day out. So if we keep improving from the pieces and what we're doing right now till January, February, I think in your broadcast, mark my words, you'll be like saying, hey, it's a way different team and a more explosive and tough team. And that's all we can hope for and strive for.
Well, coaches, I was just going to say, it doesn't really matter what the starting lineup is tomorrow night, because like you said, it's a completely different team now than it's going to be in January, February, March. So it's just kind of fun to just do our little predictions. But
So I was looking at Coach Waterman's face. Coach, is there anything that you would like to add to the starting lineup
you're
prediction?
You're rolling your eyes a lot at me over there.
Hey, no. I think what you're going to notice is that the guys who play, and our guys know this and we've emphasized it, the guys that are going to play are the guys that are going to defend, that are going to rebound, and not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
If we do those three things, those guys that do those three things will be on the floor. And like Coach said, we don't have a set lineup. Like walking in tomorrow and knowing these are our 5 starters, this is who we're going with. It very much could be a very interchangeable thing throughout the year, based on matchups, based on who's playing well. It's always something I've seen in the past too, where some of your better guys do come off the bench. So they can get a feel for the game and then come in and when the other teams have their backups in, and it's a little advantageous. So there's a lot of things that are going to go into it throughout the year. And, for us, I think we're fortunate that we do have 9, 10, 11 guys that all can kind of pick up minutes at any given point in time. And they know that they have to be ready when their number's called. And if they're not ready, then someone else is going in.
You guys start out this weekend at San Francisco State. And then also next Wednesday is a special night here at home. Is that right?
Yeah. So next Wednesday night for all the students at 6:45, there is an ice cream party in front of Conlon Center. There'll be a big social media hit coming on Monday for everybody. Make sure you check out your Twitter accounts for us. Hopefully you'll be able to retweet that for us. And
shameless plug.
And also for the first 150 students Gold Rush Jewelers down in San Rafael on 4th Street is sponsoring the game, and there'll be gold t-shirts for everybody, first 150 students that come to the game. So please come out and support our guys. They've worked really hard and trying to get as much support for them throughout the year, because you know, one of the difficult things with basketball is we have 7 or 8 home games and no one's here. And unfortunately, the PacWest gave us a poor draw that way. So in end of January, February, when school starts, I think we have 3 home games. So we're going to be at the mercy of some Bear stands, unless you're around here. And I know Forrest will be here, probably yelling at us, the only person in the bleachers during those games.
I'll bring my blowhorn.
There we go. you know, it'll be a great opportunity to come out, get a great atmosphere for that game against Dominguez Hills, who we have a little payback for a last-second loss last year at their place. So it'll be a fun and exciting night.
I keep getting text messages from Stuart Horn, and he won't stop bugging me. He just wants to know who's taking the tip, if you can reveal that information. If you can't, you can tell him to shove it. I mean, that's okay, too. But he wants to know who's going to be in the middle taking the tip tomorrow at San Francisco State. If you even know that. You might not even know that yet.
No, I don't even know that. It might be, tell Stu, it might even be me. I might come out there.
I think that would be sweet.
Me and Forrest are thinking about coming to the game tomorrow, so you can always throw us in there and take the tip if you need us to.
So, like I said, it's one of those things, literally, Coach Waterman and I, we'll hash it out tonight on lineups and pros and cons, figuring on who we think Sonoma State's going to start tomorrow night and what might be our best matchup. Like I said, and it's one of those things because there's a lot of competition this year in practice, and also the tough part about it is there's no complete separation yet on anybody's part, which goes to show, like, any night you never know with this group who's going to step up and lead. I think we might be on par with, I don't know how many years ago, where I was heard – Stu at the table where he said, this is actually like the 7th different starting lineup that Coach Harris has had. So I think my goal might be to break that record. So it's funny because we sit right next to each other, so I get to hear a lot of the commentary that's going on.
Sorry about that.
He's always complimenting the suit. If it's on, the jacket's on. If the jacket's off, you know, exactly, whether you have cufflinks on that night or not.
I'm just waiting for him to yell a play out for me. So
guilty.
One last thing, then we can stop talking about it, that I just want to bring up is going back to, you know, the new players you brought in. We talked about it, and just going back to the starting lineup thing and the matchups. There is so much versatility with this lineup where you can run 5 small guys, you can run 5 big guys. I mean, there's not. That's why, you know, to the listeners that don't really know the team yet this year, that's why there's so much struggle for us to determine, oh, it's not like 5 set guys, because they can run 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different starting lineups depending on who they're playing that night, depending on if they want to run small ball or, you know, play big. It's going to be fun to watch. So just come out to the Conlin Center starting this Wednesday night. Get there early, free ice cream, and let's get some wins this year, guys. Let's do it.
Yeah, and then just as you said, last thing about the starting lineups, I'm going to move away from that now. I know Coach Waterman's a big college football guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's a big college basketball guy. We had a big bracketology show last year. Yeah. And if you want to be a part of that this year, Booker, we're going to do that again in March.
Oh, nice.
Bracketology, you're welcome in. I know it's a long ways from now, and you're not going to remember. I said it until I ask you again in March. But college basketball season kicked off. We had a little Duke in Kentucky. And I don't know if either of you guys were able to watch that game, but I watched the first half, and it was – pretty much over. We're going to move away from DU basketball talk here for a minute, if that's okay with you guys.
It was like watching Space Jam with that lineup of freshmen. I couldn't believe 7 out of 10 guys on that floor were freshmen playing in their first collegiate game. It didn't look like it.
I mean, Zion Williamson, it's just like the guy is a joke, right? I mean, he is just looks like LeBron James is on Duke right now. I mean, in a different way, but just so powerful presence, just dominates the game and makes this Duke team look unbeatable. Not just him, but like the whole freshman roster, as you said. But Zion Wilson leading those freshmen, it just seems like Duke's not going to lose all year.
Yeah, and I agree. They're extremely talented players, but it is one game.
No,
I think
sure.
I think everybody's getting caught up in that. And Coach Krzyzewski, the best coach there probably ever has been in college basketball. And I think the one thing that he does better than anybody else in the game is that he's got all those guys bought into being a team. And Coach Calipari does it, but he does it differently. He He's going to let those guys play and use those these losses early as a way to develop that team. And Krzyzewski, you're coming into his culture, and I think that was a major part of it. You could just see how tight-knit those Duke guys are. And don't get me wrong, everybody's talking about how good Duke is, and they are extremely talented, but they're going to have their ups and downs this year too. I mean, you're going to play a Virginia team that's going to try to slow you down and make it really difficult walking the ball off the floor. So that's going to take away their run game. You're going to play Syracuse, who's going to be sitting back in their 2-3 zone. And again, challenging Duke, all right, go beat us from the three-point line. So everybody's talking about this undefeated juggernaut that Duke is. Well, I don't want to be that guy, but let's hold the horses a little bit. It was just one game, first game of the year. And yes, Duke, those guys are extremely talented. They don't look like freshmen out there. I wish we had some of those guys. But again, just from a pure basketball standpoint, you know, I guess it's the coach in me, not the fan in me watching it. You know, that was kind of my thought was, yeah, they're both teams are really good, and they'll be playing probably again in March at some point.
Yeah, and the thing about it that also sticks out is, you know, winning games is so hard. We talk about the level of the playing field. They do have an extremely talented freshman class, but winning games, it's a grind to go 33-34-0. Like right now, if the amount of games that they play with their exempt tournaments and making that run in March, you play up to 40 games, and that's a lot of wear and tear on the season where you're getting everybody's best shot every single night. So if you lose and you're Duke, people are looking to storm the court. You know what I mean? So you're going to get everybody's best shot. And on the flip side, you know, I'm trying to think of the last team who was able to go undefeated on the men's side in modern day history.
The one stat that really stuck out to me was that Duke's freshman outscored Kentucky's team. That was just the one thing that, you know, you talk about the freshmen and, you know, are they going to lose a game? Well, they'll probably lose a game. They have to play Virginia, like you said. They have to play Kansas, teams like that. So, but just that stat that the freshman outscored Kentucky's whole team, that was pretty impressive to me. I mean, going over to the college football, I know this is what you like, Coach. Coach Waterman, you have the six teams right now up there. Who do you like? You have Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma.
Who do I like to be in the Final Four?
Who do you like right now to win it?
UCF.
I mean, you're already. Can we get rid of this UCF talk? I mean,
the schedule.
I'll give you a moment to think about it. What do you think about this UCF bogus? Come on.
This is where I think UCF deserves the opportunity to be in the playoffs in an 8-team playoff. The only way they get in is that. I bet if you put them against those top six teams, they're not – no one listening from my Las Vegas bookie NCAA compliance days, but I bet if you were to match any of them up on a Vegas scale, they're 10 to 12-point underdogs against every single one of those teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we go to 8-team playoff, then allow – the five conference champions, one team from the less than a power five schools, and then two wild cards. That would be an ideal situation to give UCF a chance. But are they a top four team? Unfortunately not. And if you were to play it on the field, it would show.
My thing with it, and the reason I keep saying it, is what Coach Booker was just talking about. It's hard to win games. These guys are going on 2 years without losing a game. So my thing is just, hey, let them go play in the playoff. Let them get waxed. At least that they got the opportunity, because a lot of those guys like Mackenzie Milton, my prediction with him is he's gone after this year. A lot of those guys are graduating. They're not going to be. So when they finally get to play these powerhouse programs in 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to get waxed because they're going to suck. So why don't you have them play them? Let them go in the 4 spot now, right? And just get their butts kicked. But at least they had the opportunity, and those guys can go leave college and say, hey, you know what? We saw where we're at, and we got that opportunity. We won two games. I mean, we won every game for 2 years. So let us have that opportunity. And that's my thing. If they didn't go undefeated last year and then beat Auburn in the bowl game and then come into this year and not lose a game again, If they didn't have last year and it was just undefeated this year, I agree with you guys. They don't deserve it. But they didn't lose a game all last year. They won their bowl game, and then they haven't lost a game this year. And the year before that, I think they lost two games. So you're talking about a team that's only lost two games in 3 years and none for the last 2 years. That team deserves a shot. They might not be as good as the fifth team, the 16th, the 17th, but let them prove it. Let them go out there. How are we going to know? Because they don't have the strength of schedule, right? But how are we going to know?
122nd.
How are we going to know unless you throw them out there on the field, let them get run over? Because there's no way if you put them in the four. I saw that Alabama team play
LSU. Well, if you put them in the
four,
you put them in the eight, they're still going to play Alabama.
Right. Yeah, my point is, exactly. So you put them in the four this year. Because next year, when they have the 18 playoff or whenever they do eventually do that, UCF's not going to be the team we're talking about. This is the last UCF hurrah. So let him go out there. Let Mackenzie Milton run all over the floor, or run all over the floor, run all over the field, and let's see what happens, because it's sports, and it'd be fun to see a team that hasn't lost in 2 years go out there and give it their best shot. And that's my hope.
I just don't think it'd be fun for their fan base. I mean, you go and you're playing a team like Alabama. I mean, I agree with Coach Waterman that you. They're not a top four team, right? And they may get into an 8-18 playoff, but you know, you argue that there are teams like Northwestern that are leading the Big Ten East that are lesser to the Michigans and the Michigan States of the world, and they're, in my opinion, still would put up a fight and possibly beat UCF.
But that, to your argument, then you talk about Auburn. They beat Auburn last year. So a team that would be in that Auburn, same category as a Northwestern.
And Auburn was the fifth best team in the SEC last year.
So that's my point. What I'm saying is, you just said Northwestern. They're about the fourth or fifth best team in the Big Ten, right? So you put them against UCF. I mean, it's the same thing as putting...
The committee already has a big debacle on their hands about if you're going to put in an undefeated Notre Dame team over a conference champion. I just don't think there's a way you can put in a team like UCF and leave a team like LSU out, or Oklahoma, who puts up 55 points a game. I just don't see it. I mean, in an 8-team playoff, maybe. But, I mean, right now, I think it would almost be a slap in the face to 20 other Power 5 programs to put UCF in.
Well, here's my thing. Let's say that they do that slap in the face. They put UCF in the Final Four, and then guess what? Miracles happen in sports. UCF somehow, by the grace of God, beats Alabama. Now everybody's saying, well, maybe we were wrong about this thing. That's my point. You don't know until you put them on the field. You have predictions. You have, they almost lost to Memphis this year. The key word is almost. They haven't lost in 2 years. I mean, we can sit here and argue about it all you want. Let them go on the field, find somebody they lose to. And this argument will be over if they go in their January bowl game this year, their New Year's Day bowl game, and they lose. You know, that argument will be over.
Yeah.
But my point is, they didn't do that last year when you put them in the January bowl game. So put them in the Final Four. Let them get waxed.
Well, I guess,
or maybe let them, you know, somehow find a way to beat Alabama. And then everybody's saying, oh, my God, UCF actually is the best team in football.
I guess we'll see. I mean, we'll stop arguing about it, because ultimately we have Coach Waterman and Coach Booker in here to talk about whatever we're talking about. I don't even know.
I kind of want to talk about NBA right now.
It started out as basketball and then went into football. And because I know, you know, we're versatile in our sports culture,
right, exactly.
So you guys aren't just basketball guys, and we know that. So I know Coach Waterman has told me about how he has four different, you know, his TV, computer, phone, and iPad going when he's watching football games on Saturdays. So
yeah, I can only keep about two of those, so I can go my laptop and my TV, and then have to do the whole switcheroo. It's too much, stimulus overload for me. I'm like, oh man, and pretty soon I start talking about how we should be blocking for our fullback in practice and stuff. So I do use basketball and football equivalencies, because in athletics, whether it's soccer or basketball, I think there's a lot of things, you know, that can carry over that you can use.
I agree, Coach Waterman.
Definitely, without question. I think the analogies that can go from, especially football and basketball, I've seen used quite a bit, from getting down in a stance to being low to your explosiveness, all those things definitely are direct correlations, for without question.
We throwing any golf analogies in there in the basketball practices lately, Coach, or no?
Well, yeah, after we go to practice, Coach Harris goes to golf. So that's how that works.
Hey, I'm just trying to tease the young men about, you know, discipline under pressure. unrelenting practice habits and, you know, having a big moment or a big birdie.
Oh, you know, me and Coach Nelson always are willing to play, Coach Harris. So no. Anytime you want to go.
Coach, I didn't know you were a golfer, man. You know, you good?
Nah, not very good. I play by how many boxes of balls that I lose. So if I
boxes plural.
plural. So if it's only one box and I lose three, then I'm pretty good. So the worst is when I'm at a Peacock Gap and I'm looking for a ball and I see Stu Horn in the background trying to help me out. It's like where to go, you hack golfer, get out of here.
Oh man, Waterman, you don't golf, do you?
Oh, I have no patience. As you can tell on the sideline, golf is definitely not my sport. I've tried it about four times, and after about three holes, I'm done. I can't take it anymore.
Gotta right. love it.
So now I want to talk about my neck of the woods. My favorite thing to do is watch NBA basketball. NBA is getting on its way now, and as a diehard Laker fan, way before LeBron was even in the picture, now we have the best player in basketball. Do you guys think that the Warriors train is coming to an end in the next couple of years with LeBron coming to L.A., the West being so good? I mean, it's not just L.A. I mean, it's 10 teams in the West. I mean, everybody is looking good. Sacramento is looking good. Houston doesn't look that good yet, but they will. Spurs don't look bad. DeMar DeRozan looks like he's finally, accepted the culture in San Antonio. Wow. I mean,
who do you think got the better end of that? Toronto or San Antonio?
Long term, I think San Antonio. Oh, right. Short term, Toronto. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is just, in my opinion, is top three player in the league. Just his defensive presence is just it's dominant.
He's got the best laugh in the league, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That is true. Do you think that's helping Kyle Lowry too?
I think so. I think that when you had Lowry with DeRozan, it was two similar players. I mean, obviously DeRozan's they're both take it to the rack type of guards. Whereas now, I'm not saying Leonard's not that type of player, but he helps with being a little bit bigger and just the defensive presence again. He's just so good defensively that I think, you know, and it seems like the year off basically didn't hurt him. He seems like he's right where he left off. And I saw the Toronto Raptors, you know, whoop the Lakers the other night without Kawhi on the floor. So I think that the Toronto is looking really good this year. I think both of them this year look decent. I just think long term, I think DeRozan's going to be in San Antonio for a long time. He seems like he accepts Popovich's culture and just has really embraced it. Whereas I think Leonard
is going to go to LA and play with LeBron or something.
I don't know. I don't know if it's LA.
That's
with
his long term hopes.
Or I just think that Kawhi has shown himself that he can do it anywhere, and he doesn't need the culture of Popovich. He's going to go wherever he wants to be. I just think that that's what you're seeing with him. I don't think it's like Paul George. I think Paul George is more of he fell in love with the fact that these star players love to play with him, and Russell Westbrook and this. I think Leonard is more of just like a, hey, look, now he's getting that confidence of I can be my own player, which is, I think, for the first half of his career, nobody really thought that about Kawhi Leonard. They thought he was this team-first guy that was good with being quiet, but I think he's in the back of his mind just assessing this whole Toronto thing. He's getting confidence of, look, I'm a star player, like, and I can go anywhere, and I'm just going to go find the place that's going to pay me the most money and that I enjoy being at, and that's where I'm going to stick. Whether that's Toronto or not will be left to see. But I think that DeMar DeRozan is accepting the culture, and I think that whole culture aspect of San Antonio has really been embraced by DeMar DeRozan, and I think that San Antonio will be the long-term winner of the deal because he is going to be there potentially for the rest of his career.
Okay. So which is that bad news for the Warriors?
Again, I think the whole thing is a bad news for the Warriors. Durant, I think, is gone. I mean, it's between Durant and Thompson. One of them's leaving. In my opinion, I just think that they don't – publicly they don't say this, but you can just tell when they're playing together that they don't really mesh. And I just think that – I think it's more of Thompson. Thompson kind of is like, hey, we won the championship before you were here, dude. Like, stop acting like it's all you. Like, you did the savior thing because we won the championship before you were here. And if I'm Klay Thompson, that's how I'm feeling. I'm like, I show up on defense pretty much every night. And, you know, you put up your 43, but I can do that too. I mean, I showed it the other night. So, in my opinion, I think that you'll see one of those two guys leave. And if they go to another West team, that's the end of the Warriors, I think. The West is just too good. They're going to have to be so tired when the playoffs come around because they're playing day in and day out against tough teams. Then they get to the playoffs and there's not a break. The eight seed will be just almost not just as good, but historically in the NBA, the eight seed has been so much worse than the one seed. The seven's been so much worse than the two. It's just like an easy four game sweep. And now in this Western Conference, it's not like that. In the East, it is. In the East, it'll be like this year. It'll be Boston, Toronto, probably till the last, or maybe Indiana, but till the last, to the semifinals. And then Boston, Toronto play, and then whoever wins that's going to play in the finals. It's going to be easy for the East. They're going to have a lot of energy coming into the NBA Finals. In the West, every round is going to be intense. So, I mean, I'd like to hear you guys, what you think, Coach Waterman. You're looking at me with that look of...
No, no look at all. I'm just, you're so passionate about this.
Yeah.
Great. I like it. You're going to have a good future in this business. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, going back to the initial long-term perspective that we started off on, I think the one thing about the NBA is people forget it's a business. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, coming up this year's free agent class is one of the best that there's been this year and next year. And I think it's going to change the course of the entire league. And, to sit here and speculate on who's going to be, you know, the future of this. Tell him I want a pepperoni pizza for it. the long term of who's going to be good, I don't know if we can answer that question. It's because there is so much movement. The supermax contracts that are coming in, money's going to dictate so much in this business that who knows who's going to shift to different places.
That's the first, Coach. I'll tell you that. That's really? A first, yeah.
Maybe it's Stu Horn trying to get a hold of us.
I don't know who it is.
Wow, you don't That's have a you first. Don't have a hotline where you call in. And
no,
it's
we
like...
you know what we do, and I you know I have one set up coming up in a couple weeks, Ooh. But I've never gotten a phone call on the radio station. That's a first.
That's first for me too.
Yeah, I, mean, yeah. I didn't mean to.
I knew Force was popular with the ladies, but I didn't know they were going to call.
And, I didn't give the number. You know. So we have a few minutes left before we Perfect. Unfortunately have to go. But so I want to ask both of you guys, what is the biggest difference this year that fans coming to watch can expect to see from this team?
Biggest difference? I'd say probably, you know, just the camaraderie, chemistry. They're a group that enjoys being around each other, and I think that'll be able to show with you know the energy and joy and passion that they play with for each other and with each other, ideally big picture. And I think that'll be very noticeable, you know, as far as with this group of guys, you know what I mean? Every year it's a different group, different characteristics, different identities. Right now we're currently in we're entrenched in trying to kind of find our identity on what's it gonna be. And once we nail that down, I think, you know, sky's the limit. And like you said, with so many different interchangeable pieces of returners and new guys, I think finding it as quickly as possible has been difficult, which is part of the reason why I can't answer fans' questions about a starting lineup right now. So it's something I'll lose sleep over tonight. So if this show is on late at night, I'd probably be able to call at 2 a.m. with a answer for you, because I'd probably, more than likely, I'll be up at that time trying to figure it out myself.
I would definitely agree that, you know, on that team. Sorry, I was trying to think what the question was. If he's got off on these starting lineups again.
Yeah,
and I know that I will be up at 2 in the morning trying to figure it out. But no, again, the team chemistry that we have amongst these guys is incredible. They are a phenomenal group of guys. If you have a chance to interact with them, you'd learn that they're great gentlemen. They embody what Dominican is all about. And that was part of our, you know, mission as we recruited them. And then, you know, I think the other thing is that you're going to see just the interchangeable parts like we talked about earlier.
All right. Well, before we let you guys go, we do this with all of our guests. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. We do this with all of our guests, but rapid fire questions for both of you guys. So I'm going to start out with you, Paul. You think of a couple too. I know we talked about this earlier. So think of a couple. And my first one to
Ethan,
both
you
of you.
Tell me about this coming, man.
I'm going to start with Coach Booker. Favorite vacation spot?
Aruba.
Caribbean in general.
Okay, favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
What flavor?
Chocolate, mint, chocolate chip, Oreo. Tough call.
I'm not a big dessert guy, but it'd be cheesecake.
All right. Favorite movie?
Hoosiers.
Oh,
or Shazam. Shazam.
Shazam.
Kazam.
Jeez, favorite movie. Wayne's World.
Paul?
All right. I have one for you guys. Favorite NBA basketball team since we talked about it a little bit?
95 Bulls. Current Warriors team.
2002 Lakers.
There we go. And then my second question would be favorite dance move.
Oh man.
Hey, now I can answer this one. Coach Harris danced at my wedding. He danced more than I did. So I've seen him get down. So don't take his sandbagging that he can't dance. He's got some moves.
A little Fred Astaire, a little bit of Usher, a little Michael Jackson feeling in there. Probably my Road Wind Shuffle.
Exactly. The Road Wind Shuffle is not much better than that.
All right. My third and last question.
Yep.
Lazar's last name. I told you I was going to ask Lazar's last name.
Do I need to answer that one? Because I've had this conversation with him. So in America, it is pronounced Jurvich. And think about Novak Djokovic.
Got it.
Okay.
But the problem is when he moved here from Bosnia, the translation doesn't translate correctly because there's no letters that translate correctly.
Interesting.
And so you can go with the D U R O V I C or the D J U R O V I C spelling. So that is the issue. But
so
we go
Lazar. That's what you're talking about.
Exactly. Be the first name. Just go Lazar.
All right. Well, before we go, you guys, we have a caller calling in. Caller, you are on the air.
Wow, caller.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can the coaches hear me?
Yes, we can.
Is it true that the head coach is eligible to play on the team?
It is not true, my eligibility.
So that was a lie.
Yes, it was. I was trying to buy time.
Well, you got 25 hours till your game starts. I want to know who starts.
You know what? I think Paul and Forrest are picking it for us tonight.
There
so.
You go again. You think this is a joke?
It's not.
You think this is funny?
I don't. If they're honorary.
How many wins we had last year, Coach?
Who would you start, sir, since you're an avid Penguin?
I would put number 34 in the middle.
Okay. Charles Barkley, yeah.
That's Christian Fudge.
Okay. That's right. I was still caught in my NBA times, okay?
The great Christian Fudge. 6'8", 245.
Okay. Yeah, who's your four man then?
Good luck, Coach. There are a lot of fans who want you to win.
Nice. Nice. Thank you. We want
to
represent.
Go to you.
Go paying up, baby. That's what we say.
Oh. All right. That's all the time we have, you guys. We're going to thank the caller for calling in.
That was brutal.
That was
like, can we
obviously
play
a lot of pressure on the coaches this year to perform.
Can we exactly.
Coach Booker, Coach Scott, I want to thank you guys once again for coming in today and giving us your time.
Pleasure being here, Paul Forrest. Appreciate the love and support and have you guys on the sidelines with us. So let's make it memorable this year, and then we can go dancing in March, hopefully.
That sounds good to me because I can't dance. You can teach me how, I hear.
Yes, I can. Maestro, hit it. No, just play.
And don't forget, everybody, Wednesday night, home game.
Gold Rush.
See everybody there. Gold Rush ice cream. It's going to be a hell of a night.
It is good.
Pete Dominguez.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you once again for coming on. We have a show coming up right after us here on Penguin Radio. You've been listening to Hot in the Igloo live at 5 every Thursday. We didn't come to lose. We'll see you next week. Women's basketball tomorrow, 2-4. Saturday, 12-2. And then the men next Wednesday on Penguin Radio.